This WCBM podcast is brought to you by Safe Retirement Solutions. Call Rod Barrowy at 410-266-1120 or online at saferetirementsolutions.com.
This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for the Outdoorsman Radio Show with your host, Alan Ellis. Good morning, everybody. Alan Ellis here. This is the Outdoorsman Radio Show today without my wife, Robin, who is holding down the home front there in Easton, Maryland. So it was an interesting drive this morning. A little bit of rain out there, 75 degrees when I left the house. Looks like a lot of rain in the forecast today. Am I right on that, Chris?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Maybe a little bit of a piece of a nor'easter coming in, I believe.
I just know that there's going to be heavy downpours. I haven't seen the radar recently, so I don't know how the wind's blowing, whether
yeah.
it's coming off the ocean or whether it's coming off the land.
Right. Got it. Well, one or the other.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It's got to happen
it's
one
It's
going
to rain today. That's all. Yeah. Poor Alan Summers. I think we've had about enough rain.
Well, you know, if you're going to have a water garden, then it helps.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Koi won't be able to see, but, you know.
There you go.
Can koi see in the mud? I guess they can. They're nothing but a carp anyway.
Exactly.
So for those of you who are, you know, proud of your koi garden, they're pretty much carp.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they are. Just brightly colored carp.
And expensive, too.
Yeah.
Very expensive.
Yep. When I was a kid, we used to fish in New Jersey, and I'm trying to remember the name of the town, Mullica Lake.
Okay.
And one of the streams that ran in or out of Mullica Lake, I don't know if it was Mullica Creek or the Mullica River. There is a Mullica River, but a tributary, whatever. But apparently that was a great place to dump your goldfish. You know, that got too big for the tank. Because
mm-hmm.
you could stand up on the bank and look down in the creek and you'd see goldfish swimming up and down. I mean, with the carp. I mean, you know, foot long,
sure.
15, 18 inch goldfish in there. So that's pretty much it.
Speaking of big fish.
Yes.
Did you see that one? The snakehead.
The big old 19.9-pound snakehead. State record.
Yeah, exactly.
I saw it. Yeah.
Yeah, and I can't remember how much it weighed, but it was
19.9-pound, like I just said 30 seconds ago.
That's all right.
Yeah, that's all right.
Well, I just wanted to see if anybody else was awake.
Good point. Robin's awake. She's texting me. I'm getting her text messages.
Hello, here. Robin.
Hey, Robin. I have been reading about junior samples.
Okay.
You remember junior samples?
The name.
BR549.
Mm-hmm.
On Hee Haw.
Okay.
He was a star from Hee Haw. His claim to fame was that he ate the world record bass. And he was interviewed by Game and Fish, and the radio interview went viral in today's language. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Turned out that the junior samples had the head only of the quote world record bass and gave some story about where he waited. I don't know. I waited around a lake somewhere. I can't remember where. I was drunk. I couldn't figure, you know, one of these deals. And turned out it was the head of a grouper.
Ah.
Yeah. It was the head of a grouper. And but at that point, his career in country
show business
was launched because he was such a colorful character from backwoods Georgia,
mm-hmm.
And you know, he knew how to play it, so to speak. And it did a record, and you know, appeared on Hee Haw and all that stuff. And you know, he couldn't read the cue cards, or you know, he just
said he couldn't.
There you go. Did his thing. He just did his thing. But that's how he got his start. The story appeared that he caught the world record bass and ate it. Said it weighed 22 pounds, 9 ounces, which would have eclipsed the 1932 George Perry record of 22.4. 22.4 still stands in the U.S. I think it was broken a couple of years ago by an angler in Japan. So, but that being said, yeah, I was, yeah, that state record, a snakehead was caught in Mattawamon Creek. Mm-hmm. And I'll give you the name of the guy here shortly. My phone's almost dead. But, uh-oh. Yeah, so let's see what Robin had to say.
Did you bring your power cord?
I'm here. Good morning, Chris. So, you know, she's involved. No, Robin and I were waymasters at the Casey Cares fishing tournament yesterday.
Okay.
At the Bay Bridge Marina there by Hemingway's.
Mm-hmm.
On the Eastern Shore. And a good organization, Casey Cares, deals with critically ill children all around the country.
Yeah, the station does some work with them.
Yep. I know Eddie. They mentioned Eddie Appleton.
Okay.
Yeah. So good group, good people. Mm-hmm. 35 boats registered. Every boat was allowed to bring in one fish to win, you know, the top prize for the boat. A 35-inch rockfish won yesterday.
Holy cow.
Yeah, it was a nice fish. There were a number of fish over 30, mm-hmm. quite a few, as a matter of fact. And then the next batch were in the mid-20s. But these were you know, sometimes experienced, sometimes not experienced anglers, just out fishing for a good cause, you know, a good charity. So a lot of money was raised, and we were pleased to be a part of it. The rockfish were all donated and cooked right there on the spot. Yeah. From bay to belly. I mean, it was, you know, you couldn't get any fresher rockfish,
exactly.
You know. So we had some pretty spectacular rockfish dishes, fish tacos, and a cold dish with warm rockfish and cold crab meat. And
let me get the bucket, mop up the floor here.
It was, food was great. Food was great. So. But anyway, you know, some of the conversation this past week in visiting some of the shops that I'm visiting has revolved around these new rockfish regulations with the non-offset circle hooks. One poor guy came in yesterday, had impaled himself with a hook and had to be taken to the emergency room. His body had a reaction to seeing himself impaled, and he just basically... Well, he didn't fall over. He just kind of like 30,000-foot stare, you know, and turned white, the whole deal. And
okay.
Robin has the name of that reaction that your body goes through when it sees something, you know, impaled. But whatever that.
Shock?
Yeah, it is shock, definitely. But, you know, I was talking to him about how to just get that hook out without going to the emergency room. And I mean, it's a proven technique, but nobody on the boat was aware of it and wanted to really, you know, yank the hook out backwards.
I don't blame them.
But it works.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you stick a hook in your finger, in your hand, whatever. Okay. A couple methods of doing it yourself. You can push it all the way through. Push the barb down or cut the point of the hook off and then back it out. That's one way, but that creates another wound.
Mm-hmm.
If you have a hook straight in, okay, you take and push down the eye of the hook, which pulls the barb. It mm-hmm. pulls that skin, that tissue up. Okay, you insert a heavy piece of line, like a 100-pound test or something like that, a wire leader. Okay, while holding down the eye of the hook, that's the crucial part right there. What you've done is you've pulled that wound open, that slice channel open. You put that stout line through the bend of the hook, and you have somebody snap it out. Just what happens is the barb and everything else comes out the same wound channel that it went in and doesn't cause any further damage. I've had it done to myself, and it's a simple thing. So this is, I don't know. Anyway, they weren't buying it, but, So, vasovagal reaction. Vasovagal reaction. I have no idea what that means, but apparently it's not a good thing.
It sounds like something to do with vessels.
Yeah, it does. But we'll figure it out. So anyway, the discussion this week has been with this new striped bass regulations. You know, the size limit was lowered from 20 to 19 inches for striped bass. The idea was that anglers adopt non-offset circle hooks so that we can get to that 19-inch level, that reduction, okay? Because what they're trying to do is save a bunch of gut-hooked fish when you're chumming or live lining, undersized fish when you're chumming or live lining. So regulations came out, and here's what it says. Anglers must use non-offset circle hooks when live lining or chumming. And here's where it gets funny. Number two, anglers must use circle hooks or J hooks when using fish, crabs, or worm as bait or when using processed bait, and the minimum size for striped bass is 19 inches. So, anglers are looking at this and they're talking to their tackle shop. Well, what does this mean? If I'm live lining, okay, or using fish for bait, it says you must use circle hooks or J hooks when using fish. Well, chum or chunking is fish, and so is live lining. So what does that mean? It seems like it's contradictory. So they're saying, can you explain this? And I'm saying, I can't explain why they wrote it like that. No, that's what they wrote. It says, anglers must use non-offset circle hooks when live lining or chumming. Live lining consists of using a live spot or perch, hooking it with a circle hook, allowing it to free spool, and when the fish picks it up, you let the fish run with it and you set the hook. It's a live bait, a live fish on a line, therefore you're live lining, okay? Chumming, of course, is, you know, putting chum overboard. You take a piece of alewife and you throw it out in the chum slick, and the fish come into chum slick to eat, and they find your bait, and then you catch them. Very effective. I've done it. Very effective way to fish. So that was point number one. Anglers must use these non-offset circle hooks when live lining or chumming. And then number two says anglers must use circle hooks or J hooks when using fish, crabs, or worms as bait or when using process bait. Everybody's going, well, you use fish when you're chumming and you use fish when you're live lining. Explain, please. If you're trying to save fish and then you say you can use either or. So, I don't know. It's clear as mud to me, but maybe it'll get cleaned up. But if you go to the news release, and if you want me to send it to you, I'll be glad to, but it's the news release on May 14th. Read the comments. So, comment number one, are you allowed to use non-offset octopus circle hooks? Those are the ones that have an upturned eye, which allows you to tie a snell knot. And then, what size circle hooks can you use? Well, they finally answered. It says there's no size or gap requirements for circle hooks. You can use any size circle hook. The only requirement for circle hook is S, for circle hook space S, is that it has to be non-offset in line if you are live lining or chumming. That's from Steven, who's the moderator. Then the guy says, what's the gap on a circle hook do you have to use? And there's no answer to that either. And then another fellow says, how many Can you keep with the limit size during May 15th through June 1st? I've read you can keep two. Then I've heard you can only keep one. And then are there any piers from which you can catch and keep rockfish? The map wasn't clear. So then the moderator comes back and says you can keep rockfish, striped bass, from piers in the main stem of the bay, but not tributaries until June 1st. Three examples of main stem piers are currently open: North Beach, Mattapique, and Point Lookout State Park. The beach and jetty at Sandy Point State Park is also open. On June 1, all piers will be open for keeping rockfish, including the tributaries. Thank God that was yesterday. Today is a free fishing day, by the way. You don't need a license to go fishing today.
So, oh, okay, good.
Yeah. Today, next Saturday, and the 4th of July. So, okay. So, another fellow says, can we still use bucktails and parachute rigs for trolley? Trolley. T-R-O-L-L-E-Y. I assume he means trolling. Trolling. Mm-hmm. Yes. And then it says above you must use non-offset circle hooks for live lining or chumming. Beneath that it says you must use circle hooks or J hooks if you're fishing with fish, crabs, worms, or bait. It does not say specifically non-offset circle hooks there. So does that mean if you're fishing with soft crab on the bottom that you can use an offset circle hook? Thanks. So, Steven says, if you're fishing with a soft crab on the bottom and not chumming, then you can use any type of J hook or any kind of circle hook, offset or non-offset. Treble hooks are prohibited. Okay? And then there's a dumb comment. And then one fellow asked about the Potomac River Fisheries Commission. Says the minimum is 20 inches. Potomac River Fisheries Commission current regulations state the minimum size for striped bass on the main stem of the Potomac is 20 inches. If you're in a tributary on the Maryland side of the Potomac River, the legal size is 19 inches. Now, here's an interesting comment, question. If I'm chumming and I want to catch some perch with bloodworms while I'm chumming, do I have to use circle hooks with the bloodworms? And the answer is yes. Circle hooks are required when live lining or chumming, regardless of the species being targeted. So my comment to some of these tackle shops were, if you're going out to catch your spot and you're live lining, you have to use non-offset circle hooks to catch your spot. What? You're crazy. I'm going to use those with bloodworms? Ah, no. Hey, I'm just telling you what I'm reading. I didn't set the regulations. I'm just telling you. So here it is. This is what confirms what I was telling folks all week. If I'm chumming and want to catch some perch with bloodworms while I'm chumming, do I have to use circle hooks with the bloodworms? Yes, circle hooks are required when live lining or chumming, regardless of the species being targeted. So it goes on from there. Any questions? 410 WCBM 680, 410-922-6680 is our phone number. So, there you go. I guess I probably ought to tell the folks about Chesapeake Outdoors. First choice for hunters and anglers on Maryland's eastern shore. They've got non-offset circle hooks, and I'm sure the discussion is lively in there about the fishing right there on Eastern Bay. And that's where the bulk of the fish came out of yesterday. Nice fish, a bunch of 24s and a number of fish over 30. 35 inches was the winning fish in the Casey Cares tournament yesterday. Chesapeake Outdoors does have Kent Island's largest selection of fishing and crabbing supplies, custom bucktails, parachutes, umbrellas, including the habanero baits with the silicone skirts, custom planer boards, lines and flags if you like to troll, and some of the bigger fish were caught trolling, no question about it. Rods, reels, tackle, line, winding, and the whole deal. For Chesapeake Bay, tidal rivers, freshwater fishing. They've got the Yeti coolers and tumblers. They've got the Costa Del Mar sunglasses. And I'll tell you what, I've never seen a larger selection of Costa sunglasses.
Yeah, we had that discussion last week.
Yeah, we did, and I never did get an answer. And they even carry the Bubba Blade knives if you like to fillet and release. Chesapeake Outdoors, located Route 50 East, exit 39B, Kent Island. That's in beautiful downtown Chester, Maryland, right across the bridge, 39B Dominion Road. Phone number 410-604-2500, 604-2500 for Chesapeake Outdoors.
Alan Ellis here for Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie Spray-On Bedliners. Linex Spray-On Bedliners rated number one, carry a nationwide lifetime warranty. Linex Spray-On Bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust in your bed. Your tools, your tackle, your crabbing and hunting gear can't hurt your truck bed. Choose the Linex Premium Bedliner or the Linex Extra. Both look great. And Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex now offer truck gear, the toughest accessories for your truck. Step bars, tonneau covers, floor liners, grill guards. You get it. Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie provide the best protection for your truck. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex Spray-On Bedliner, truck gear and accessories. Catonsville Linex, new location, 2076 Lord Baltimore Drive in Windsor Mill, just off Security Boulevard across from Coons Ford, 410-455-0800. That's 410-455-0800. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, located at 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. Call 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199. Linex.
Guess where I got a cup of coffee the other day? Bay Country Bakery. I drove by two Wawa's, two Royal Farms, two McDonald's, and a couple of other places just to get my coffee and one donut at Bay Country Bakery in Cambridge. They not only serve a great breakfast from 6 to 11 Monday through Friday and all day Saturday today, but they have the most delicious fresh baked donuts and pastries and cookies and breads on the Eastern Shore. I don't go through those fast food or chain store drive-thrus, just like I said, when I'm on Route 50 headed to the marsh or going fishing. My mouth and belly can't wait to stop at Bay Country Bakery for a donut or two and a fresh cup of coffee. I just look for the big donut on the side of the bakery, and from 11 till 2, you can grab a tasty lunch. Dave and Gina Levy, your host, are trained chefs, and they strive to bring you the best. Bay Country Bakery, located at 2951 Coastal Highway, just on the other side of Cambridge on Route 50. Think big donut. Can't miss it. Visit their website or like their Facebook page, Bay Country Bakery. Be sure to stop by, say hello. Maybe you'll see Robin and me there. Never know.
If you're a working man and your truck breaks down, you only need to know one repair shop, W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg. They built your reputation on getting you in, fixed, and out the door quickly, efficiently, and at a very competitive price. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles, large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Just look for that big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410, W&W Tire.
Talk Radio 680 WCPM.
Yeah, congratulations, by the way, to Larry Haskins with a 35-inch rockfish that won the Casey Cares Rockfish Tournament yesterday. Jeff Flagg came in second with a fish 34 and three-quarters. Bill Judge, 32 and three-quarters. Mike Wiserek at 32 and three-quarters. Mike Baines, 31. Scott Schoenberger, 30 and three-quarters. Dan Cathell, 30 and a quarter. Lolo Gensler, 29 and a quarter. And John Severo, 29 inches. So that was the... That was the top nine fish during yesterday's tournament. It was a lot of fun. A lot of fun. Warm day, a little bit warm, but congratulations to all the anglers who, you know, donated to the charity. The captains that raised money were, you know, were fantastic in helping out this great organization. So let's talk to Steve in Baltimore. Steve, good morning. How are you? Hello, Steve.
Hello. Hey. How are you?
I'm good. What's up?
Hey, I was wondering. I work a lot of overnight.
Yeah.
Just, and I miss your podcast. I miss the show.
Okay.
And I was wondering, how often do you update your podcast?
They're supposed to be updated every week, but sometimes things get jammed up on this end at the station and sometimes with the guy that does it. So how far behind are we?
I think you said May 5th.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll check on that. I'll jump on that and get rolling with that. So we'll do what we got to do to catch up. Sorry about that. I don't watch it, okay? I just every now and then communicate with the web guy and the folks here at the station. You know, they've got to put it out on the WCBM website, and you know, I don't know if it's up to date on that or not. So have you ever looked on the WCBM.com website, or do you go through Ellis Outdoors?
I go through Ellis Outdoors.
Yeah, check the WCBM website for podcasts and give us a call back. Let us know where they are on there. And if they're that far behind on the CBM website, then they're going to be that far behind on Ellis Outdoors. Okay?
All right. Well, I appreciate it.
But I will take action today.
Well, I definitely appreciate it. Hopefully I get some fishing in this weekend and rain holds off.
Yeah, good luck to today and tomorrow on that. So tomorrow.
Well, thank you.
Tomorrow actually looks like, I think, your better day. So.
Yep, I'm off tomorrow, so I'll definitely take advantage of that.
Well, good. There you go.
All righty. Well, you have a good one, and I appreciate it.
Thanks, Steve. Thanks for listening.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Jay in Westminster. Good morning, Jay. What's up?
Good morning. I hope you remember this. It's been about a year and a half ago, around Christmas, you mentioned that your doctor put you on a metoprolol or something like that. I'm not sure how you pronounce it. And it was causing weight gain.
Hmm.
Do you remember mentioning that?
Oh, that was a long time ago.
Yeah, well, anyway, they put me on that.
It was a beta blocker for high blood pressure years and years ago, and I gained like 60 pounds, yeah.
Oh, well, what I was going to say is that it caught my attention because my doctor had just put me on it at that time. Now I've gained about 10 pounds.
Uh-huh.
Did they ever find an alternative to that medicine to give you, or
for high blood pressure? I take very little high blood pressure medicine. I only take like 5 milligrams. It's lisinopril.
I'm sorry, say that again.
Lisinopril.
And does that not?
No weight gain there at all.
Okay. And were you able to get the 60 pounds back off?
Well, yeah, a couple. At one point, I was 305 pounds with a 50-inch waist. I'm about 219 right now with a 40-inch waist, so I still have a little ways to go. But that's been over 20-some years. So in 1995, I got sick. I was afflicted by Guillain-Barré syndrome, which is a nerve disease. And that put me in the hospital. That took the bulk of it off. I went down to 235 at that point and bounced back up to about 245, you know, up to 10 years ago. And then in 2010, I came down with I got hit with a kidney stone, and that put me on my back for 3 weeks. And I went down to like 225 at that point. I've been able to stay under 220 for the most part since that time. I went to a low of 204 and bounced back up to 220. So weight's always been a problem with me, you know. I just
never had that problem till they put me on this stuff. But it turned out that the blood pressure problems were being caused by sleep apnea.
Yeah, that'll do it. Yeah, that'll do it.
I've been on the BiPAP machine, and I've got that pretty well straightened out. But
that's good.
I'm having trouble getting this weight back off.
Yeah, yeah. Do you have a flat bed?
Yeah.
Get an adjustable bed. That'll help tremendously with the apnea.
Oh, okay.
Buy an adjustable bed. You buy the base. You put them, you know, in the mattress, and it works wonders.
Okay.
Wonders. Yeah. Yeah, when I lost the weight, I lost the apnea too. I remember a fishing trip up into Canada where we stayed in a tent with a big tent with, I think there were four of us. One, Mike, Bob, Dick, me, I think maybe five of us, four or five of us, I can't remember, went on a fishing trip up to Canada and stayed in a tent. And the guys were telling me, you know, we're listening to you breathe and snore, and then you stop breathing for, you know, quite
right.
a while.
Right, right.
I'm like, yeah, I know. So, but yeah, the weight, the panic attacks and all that stuff, that all ended when the weight went away. So it's all good.
Okay. Well, like I said, it caught my attention because the doctor had just put me on it and I hadn't gained any weight.
That's, yeah. Yeah.
And
well,
I put on 10 or 12 pounds.
Yeah. If it's a beta blocker for blood pressure that's going to cause your weight gain. Gain weight. So.
All right. Well, I appreciate it.
You got it, Jay. Thanks.
Thanks.
Bye-bye. And I'm also a doctor. 410 WCBM 680. 410-922-6680. So there we are. What do you want to talk about, Chris?
What you should be doing for hunting season. Now, even though you're fishing, you got to think one season ahead.
What you should be doing for hunting season
mm-hmm.
now. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the does are dropping their fawns, and Robin's mom lives out there near Centerville,
uh-huh.
Queen's County. Doe dropped a fawn in the yard the other day.
Whoa.
Fawn snuggled up to the deck one day. No mom. Mom comes back the next day, looks in the window. Fawn comes out from under the deck, then the fawn goes back under the deck. Now I get a panic call from Ma, who said, what do I do? The fawn's under the deck, and the mom won't come back and feed it. I said, you don't know that because you're not keeping an eye on that fawn 24/7. The mom knows right where that fawn is. The fawn is safe. She probably has another one. She's stashed in the woods, probably 200 yards away, and she makes a round. She feeds. Then she goes and feeds the kids, and she may be feeding, because of the human activity, she may be avoiding you during the daytime, and she's coming in at night. Oh, well, what do I do about the fawn under the deck? I said, nothing. Well, what if it's sick? Then you let nature take its course,
mm-hmm.
unfortunately. Nothing you can do.
That's right.
Okay, so yesterday we got a beautiful photo of the doe and the little fawn had come out from under the deck, and it's feeding on mom right there in the yard. So they got a great, bird's eye, I mean, not a up close and personal view of
mm-hmm.
of nature taking its course.
Wow.
Which worked out really well. So leave them alone. Don't touch them. Don't rescue them. No matter what you think, mom knows where they are. She's keeping them safe. Fawns have very little scent so that predators can't smell them. So just don't touch them. And mom will usually, you know, come back and get them.
Wow.
Pretty cool, though.
Yeah,
pretty
it
cool
is.
Story. Yeah, pretty cool story. So then we were at this event yesterday. A fellow from Westminster listens all the time. Or Sykesville listens all the time. He wanted to meet me and all that. So we talked for a while, and he pulls his phone up and he shows me a picture. He goes, look. I said, what? He says, that's a bear. I said, I see it's a bear. He said, it's on Marriottsville 2 the other day.
Wow.
Yeah, you know where Marriottsville 2 is out here at Carroll County.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Small bear, 120-pound male, you know, typical stuff, roaming bears this time.
Sure,
if you see
bears,
one on a back road, don't worry, it's not going to be there tomorrow.
Uh-huh.
Because they'll travel 30, 40, 50 miles a day. They're trying to establish a territory for themselves. And, you know, they just, that's what they do this time of year. Young males, two-year-old males,
mm-hmm.
are kicked out. Because the female's ready to breed. It's breeding season for black bears. Females breed every 2 years, give birth in the den in the wintertime, raise the cubs for, well, they're born in, let's say, January. So a year-and-a-half-old bear gets, year-and-a-half-old bear gets kicked out when mom's ready to breed again in June 2 years hence. So that's how it works. They get bred in June. She gives birth in, like, January. She raises them the next breeding cycle, the cubs are only 6 months old, so she doesn't breed that year. And then when the cubs are a year and a half old, she'll
breed
again.
Kicks them out of the house.
Well, yeah, she kicks them out of the house for two reasons, because she's ready to breed again. And if she tries to keep those cubs, the boar will kill them.
Kill, exactly.
Because he wants to breed mom. And so if the cubs become an obstacle, you know, he'll kill them. So not necessarily females, but the male bear he sees as a threat. So mom kicks him out, and it's just, again, all how this whole system's been designed by the creator. So very interesting. First bear hunt I ever went on in June up in New Brunswick. I had that scenario play out in front of me my first night in the bear stand. I'm in the stand, and it's drizzly day. Wind's blowing in my face, and I smell what smells like a wet dog. I can't see anything, but I don't have any experience seeing bears in the woods. So there was a bear in front of me out to my right quarter, okay, my quadrant from my straight ahead to my right arm, that whatever that angle is there, that 90 degrees. I smelled this bear three different occasions. And then I didn't. And about 20 minutes later, I heard behind me. And I didn't bother to turn around. I didn't want to turn around because
no.
I didn't want to know what was back there. But it, you know, that's what he was doing. He was scent checking me. And I had no idea about bear behavior at that point. So, you know, the bait's in front of me at 25 yards. So the bear was, you know, had circled around. And I'm assuming that was the boar, but that's just a big assumption. So it gets dark, really dark, 10 o'clock at night in New, in New Brunswick. There's no population, no
Yeah, you can't homes, see your hand in front of your face.
No, exactly. With it's an hour drive to the closest electric light.
Yeah.
Okay. So
no stars at light.
Not very many. I'm sitting there at night, and it's dark as pitch, and I hear right in front of me on the bait. I'm like, oh, what is that?
Mommy.
So I got to see, you know. I got to see. So I turned my headlamp on briefly, and there's a big set of eyes looking at me. And to the right, there's a little set of eyes, and to the left, there's a little set of eyes.
So, uh-oh.
Yeah, so it was Mama with the two cubs, and she ain't happy for some reason. Turn the light out.
And prayed.
Grip my shotgun a little tighter.
Yeah.
And prepare.
Yeah, exactly.
And pray. So, you know, I'm sitting there, and all of a sudden, somebody, I think her, hit, drop kicked, slapped, whatever she did to the 55-gallon barrel that it contained some bait. And it went bong, ding, crang, tong, ding, down through the woods.
She didn't like what was on the menu.
She didn't care for those donuts a bit. Roared again, and then I heard jaws popping and bears running. So what I assume happened was that boar was coming in to attempt to breed her, and she wasn't having anything of it. She was defending her cubs.
Sure.
And I got to ear witness it.
Yeah, you were not about to turn the light on to watch.
I didn't want to participate.
No.
Paul in Ferndale. How you doing, buddy?
I'm good. How are you this morning?
I'm just reliving some old memories. What can I say?
I was loving it. It was very interesting.
Well, it was very exciting, I can tell you that.
Oh, I bet it was.
Yep. Yep.
Calling to tell you, I went on to the CBM website, and it's May 26th is the latest podcast they had up there for you.
All right. I'll get a hold of my web guy and tell him. So
that's last week.
Yeah, I know it's last week.
Okay.
Yeah, so they're uploaded on the WCBM site. They're just not,
they're not
on Ellis, Ellis Outdoors.
Okay.
Yeah, so I got to call. I'll get in touch with Brian. Probably ought to pay him.
That might help.
So,
I got a story about my brother deer hunting.
Okay.
He was going bow hunting, and it was over kind of where he worked in Laurel. behind there, some woods back in there, and he had a scent rag, and he was dragging behind him.
Okay.
And he walked in with it, and all of a sudden he's hearing this crashing coming through the woods. And it's dark because he's going in, you know, early in the morning.
Right.
Right. Crashing coming through the woods, and then, you know, he's at the tree, and then all of a sudden the crashing stops, and it's right behind him. And he said, I could almost feel its breath on my back when it was breathing.
Mm-hmm.
Right there. I was like, wow, that's pretty scary.
So that buck was tracking him on that drag rag already before he even got in the stand.
Yeah.
Yep. Wow. Wow.
That was pretty interesting.
Yeah, I would say interesting is probably a good word. So.
I've never had anything that exciting happen to me.
No? Yeah.
No, not yet. Anyway,
yeah, I've had a few. Not I've had no dangerous encounters with deer. I was trout fishing one time, and a cow came after me in my uncle's pasture. That wasn't fun. So
I don't think that would be.
No, but the bear thing. Other than this past bear season, that was my encounter. Now, I think I've told the folks about this past season up in Frederick County, sitting there in the dark, and I told this story yesterday, too. My adopted daughter, Laura, pulled a bear tag. We hunted this little piece of property in Frederick County near the watershed. Lots of bears there, and the bears were coming on the porch. The bears were coming in the chicken coop, and, you know, so they wanted to do away with the one or two of the problem bears. It was a sow and two grown cubs, or pretty grown cubs. And last day of the season, we're sitting there, and we're just sitting on chairs on along a trail. We're just sitting there kind of quiet and camo, and you know, we got our orange on, of course, but we're just kind of watching through the woods and, hoping something comes below us on the trail or out on the flat in front of us or whatever. So we're just kind of watching and sitting and, we thought there might be something going on, and when we got out of the truck to go in the woods, Laura said she thought she heard something walking. Well, we kind of made a beeline to our chairs and got in on the trail, and I took a little nap, and I hear, "Alan! Alan!" Well, looked over, and Laura made the motion with her fingers, you know, like somebody walking. She says,
"Right.
There's something walking around in here." I said, "Okay. Well, there's deer all over the place up there." So I didn't pay much attention. The dog had been out, and I thought I heard this trotting animal coming towards us, and I thought, well, the dog got out. He followed us out, and I was mad at the dog, you know. And I looked up, and the dog had, you know, a white face and some white on it. It was a pit bull boxer cross. And this animal trotted right up to us at 5 yards, 15 feet, and slammed on the brakes, and there was no white face on it. It was a very, very dark black bear.
Wow.
Came to a screeching halt. Laura moved. The bear bolted. And she was right. There was something walking in the woods, but there was more than one of them. So.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Yeah, we had bears beating feet out of there like crazy. So, but unfortunately, it was.
That's interesting.
Yeah, it was 10 minutes before legal shooting time. So, you know, you couldn't shoot, but it was another close encounter. And
yeah, right.
So, made Laura a little nervous, but I was, I just laughed about it. I thought it was funny.
Yeah, okay.
So, all right, Paul. Well, you have a good day, buddy.
All right, good talking to you.
Thank you, man. See ya.
All right. Talk to you.
Say hi to Natalie. Bye-bye.
I will.
There he goes. Clyde Sports Shop is located at 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road. That's where the bulk of this discussion was on the circle hooks and the live lining and all that. And Billy pulled out some, I think they're bear paw circle hooks that you can use to catch spot and perch and things like that, because they do have all the terminal tackle. I mean, every type of hook imaginable. I mean, they've been there a long time, and they got them all. They've got the non-offset hooks and J hooks and hooks with, they got a lot of hooks. It's tons of hooks. If you need hooks, Clyde Sports Shop is the place to go. Of course, they got all the terminal tackle, the weights, the leaders, the, you know, the bobbers, anything you need for any kind of fishing, pan fishing, rockfish, bass, you name it. And he said they're selling a lot of bass lures because people were targeting snakeheads. And the snakeheads, as we just mentioned earlier in the hour, the new record was set out of Mattawoman Creek, 19.9 pound. That's a big snakehead. So, rods and reels for trolling and casting and plugging and you name it, and all types of crabbing gear now that crabbing's getting ready to start in earnest. They've got the crab traps and the crab nets and the trot lines and the bait and all the bait for fishing. And it's very simple. Clyde Sport Shop has everything you need for fishing, and they can repair your rod and reel, put new line on, whatever you need. It's 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne, just off Beltway exit number 9. Clyde's has been there 61 years. They know their stuff. They're open 7 days a week. They have a 24-hour, 7 days a week fishing hotline, and that's a very easy number to remember, 410-247-FISH. Doesn't get much easier than that, 247-FISH, right? 247-3474. So if you need it, they got it, Clyde Sports Shop. 410-242-6108.
WCBM, Baltimore.
Heavy rainfall in the forecast later this afternoon and tonight. Still a lot of tropical air in place up and down the 95 corridor. And we're going to see some of those heavier rain showers in the forecast this afternoon. Mid-80s with north winds and a 90% chance of rain this afternoon. Potential for heavy rainfall tonight was 63 degrees. After such a wet month of May, we were ready for some dry weather. We finally do have it in the forecast by the new work week ahead, Monday through Friday. Sunshine, lower humidity. I'm Scott Laurie Moore for Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
This is Alan Ellis for Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex Spray-On Bedliners. Linex spray-on bedliners are rated number 1 and carry a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex spray-on bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust in your bed. Your tools, your tackle, crabbing, and hunting gear can't hurt it. Choose the Linex Premium or the Linex Extra. Both look great. Bay Linex and Catonsville Linex now offer truck gear, the toughest accessories for your truck. Step bars, tonneau covers, floor liners, grill guards, you get it. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex provide the best protection for your truck. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex bedliner and truck gear accessories. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, located at 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. 410-789-0199. 410-789-0199. Catonsville Linex, new location, 2076 Lord Baltimore Drive in Windsor Mill, just off Security Boulevard across from Coons Ford. 410-455-0800. 410-455-0800. Linex.
Okay, you early rising sportsmen, Kent Island's largest selection of fishing and crabbing supplies is right there on Kent Island. Chesapeake Outdoors, the first choice for Eastern Shore hunters and anglers, that's for sure. Custom bucktails and parachutes and umbrellas, planer boards, lines and flags, if you're still trolling. And they also carry the habanero. What is that, a pepper? Is that a hot pepper?
Yes, it's one of the hottest peppers out there.
Yeah, made right here in Maryland, right here in, I mean, my neighbor. He's like two blocks away. Habanero custom baits with the silicone skirts. You'll like those when you see them. Nice profile on that bait. Live and frozen bait, Yeti coolers, Bubba Blade knives, Costa sunglasses, anything and everything for fishing, for striped bass, for perch, for spot, for catfish, you name it. They've got it right there, Chesapeake Outdoors. And everything for crabbing, too, including the, you know, the trot lines and the traps and the live boxes and all that stuff. They're at right off Route 50, exit 39B, Dominion Road, right there in Kent Island, like I said. 39B, Dominion Road. You'll see the sign on the side of the road. You'll see the store. You get off the exit, go around the block, and you're right there at Chesapeake Outdoors. Why not give them a call or stop by? 410-604-2500. That's Chesapeake Outdoors.
Nothing is more frustrating than a dead battery. When your truck won't start or your boat or ATV leaves you stranded far from home, that's not good. The solution is Battery Warehouse. Not only does Battery Warehouse provide batteries for your car or truck, you can find marine batteries for cranking or trolling, ATV batteries, tractor batteries, motorcycle batteries, and batteries for all outdoors equipment. Did you know Battery Warehouse has batteries for wild game feeders, dog collars, cell phones, predator calls, and trail cameras? How about your video camera? Or if you tow your boat or trailer, your trailer brake control battery.
any battery you need. With 10 locations in Central Maryland, there's a battery warehouse convenient to you. Bel Air, Frederick, Cockeysville, Glen Burnie, Dundalk, Hagerstown, Westminster, Eldersburg, Parkville, and Woodlawn. Visit BatteryWarehouseMaryland.com online for the phone numbers and more information. When you need a hot flash, get to the battery warehouse near you. W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg is taking care of my trucks for over 25 years. Anything from a simple oil change to extensive engine work, brakes, tune-ups, everything, their motto is, we do it. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles. Large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Look for the big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410. W&W Tire and Auto.
Red Stick 1, a new novel. When a Florida game warden dies in a twisted act of revenge, the boy he raised, now grown and also a game warden, takes off his badge to hunt the killer. Ken Kirkby's new novel, Red Stick 1, an exciting manhunt. Red Stick 1, available on Amazon.
How high is the water, mama? 2 feet high and rising. How high is the water, Papa? She said it's 2 feet high and rising. But we can make it to the road in a homemade boat, 'cause that's the only thing we got left that'll float. It's already over all the wheat and oats. 2 feet high and rising. How high is the water, Mama? 3 feet high and rising. How high is the water, Papa? She said it's 3 feet high and rising. Well, the hives are gone, I lost my bees. Chickens are sleeping in the willow trees. Cows in water up past their knees. 3 feet high and rising. How high's the water, Mama? 4 feet high and rising. How high's the water, Papa? She said it's 4 feet high and rising. Hey, come look through the window pane. The bus is coming, gonna take us to the train. Looks like we'll be blessed with a little more rain. 4 feet high and rising.
All right, it's getting higher. That water's getting higher. More rain coming today. Here's the music to get out of here for another few minutes for the rain. Hey, congratulations to Andy Fox down there in Mechanicsville for that state record bow kill. Snakehead. Yep, fishing at night with a bow. Caught a snakehead, 19.9 pounds, Natawoman Creek. Big old fish. Going to have it mounted. I don't blame him. I would, too. But I'm going to catch one of those darn things this year. I am. I got a buddy who goes down in Dorchester County, and he sent me a picture of one that was well over 10 pounds the other day. So I think we'll do that. They're catching them. They're crazy.
Between putting up a good fight, I'd be curious to find out how they taste.
They taste spectacular. All right, get out, stay safe, see you after the news.